Hi, everyone. It's Brian Kilmeade here. Are you tired of those uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under a sweater? If so, then you must check out Collars & Co., makers of the Dress Collar Polo. Listen up. These shirts are four-way stretch, buttery soft polos with firm dress collars on them, so they give you the dress shirt look, but extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them with anything, under a sweater, with a blazer, or by themselves as an elevated polo. They work for any occasion. These polos are perfect, whether it's in the office, on a golf course, or a night out. Collars & Co. is exploding and have gone viral on social media thanks to the $1 million investment they received on Shark Tank from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones. You don't have to worry about collars that flop down and spread out. They stay firm and sharp all day. It's an amazing array of sweaters, quarter zips, pants, and outerwear. If you're looking for the performance dress shirt or polo that looks great all day, check out collarsandco.com. Use promo code Brian for 15% off of any purchase of $100 or more. That's promo code Brian.
Hey, Senator Shelley Moore Capito joins us now over in West Virginia. I appreciate you being with us, Senator. Thanks so much.
Yeah, good morning, Brian. Good to see you.
Great. So I know you're on Zoom, so people watching it, listening at home, you can go to your catch us on the stream. So, Senator, first off, I want to talk about the transgender sports. I mean, to me, it's obvious. I know where you stand. I'm with you that let's keep women in women's sports and men in men's sports. How do you think the ruling's going to go, though?
Well, I think it's going to be, if it's not unanimous, I don't know why. I mean, when you saw some of the questions that were asked in terms of the West Virginia case, it's a Title IX issue. I think it's pretty clear that Title IX was meant to not discriminate because of sex. And I think that is what it's doing is protecting women's sports. And it's actually been a huge result of the growth of women's sports in this country. Both I was the beneficiary of it. My daughter played NCAA one sports. I mean, it is just something that we need to protect for future generations. And, you know, honestly, I can't even believe we have to go all the way to the Supreme Court to find the answer out to this, to be honest with you. Seems pretty common sense to me.
It does. In fact, people don't really aren't digging in against it because they know the arguments are ridiculous. Why discriminate against who? Women. Women are usually, you know, we were fighting for women for the longest time.
Right.
For the longest time, we felt as though if you set up anything against women, you were sexist. Now, if you're going to bat for women, you don't have tolerance. But you're a former Division I athlete yourself. So you've always appreciated athletics, right? And the need for to compete against your own gender.
Well, sure. You get a lot from the opportunities that have really increased so much over the years, different types of sports, different types of opportunities that then lead to great jobs, great leadership positions. These are things that before women really had the opportunity to have equal protections in the sports arena at schools and everything really weren't afforded to women. I thought one of the best questioning was Justice Alito when he asked them to, you know, define what a girl is, and the person couldn't really define or didn't wish to define what a girl was. And he goes, well, how can I decide who's going to be in girl sports if you can't tell me who a girl is? And so I thought, you know, that just to me really brought it down to this argument of allowing really people that are stronger, they have different physical makeups, no matter how they identify, it tips the scale in their favor in many of these sports. And that's just not fair. It's a total fairness argument. And I think it was very well made by both states.
So I wanted to go off the switch, if I can, dramatically over to Iran. And the president said, mm-hmm. I want the hangings and killings to stop. And they canceled the hangings. They reopened the airspace. And evidently, they have not seen, we're going by reports, and it's so hard to get it. We have not seen much of that, although they were shooting into the crowds where the Iranian security forces in at least six different provinces. Here's what the foreign minister of Iran told Brett last night. Cut 20.
My message is: do not repeat the same mistake that you did in June. You know, if you try a failed experience, you will get the same result. You know, in June, you destroyed the facilities, the machines, but the technology cannot be bombed. And the determination also cannot be bombed.
So his message to Trump is don't do what you did in June. We all know it was one of the biggest successes you could possibly have in June. But what do you think our role should be? Because I'd hate to think that this regime stays in place and these people feel abandoned again, but we really can't get involved in people's revolutions either, as justified as it is, or can we?
You know, I don't think that full involvement by the United States in this revolution is in our best interest or in the world's best interest. I think what we see here is a pivotal point for Iran. How many times have we seen these protests sort of foment, but nothing like this? And we're not even allowed to see what is really occurring, which tells me a lot more is occurring than what we can actually see. So what I think we need to do is what the president's done: support the protesters, support the people in the neighborhood that are most deeply affected, where we have quite a presence anyway, in many of the nations surrounding Iran. I think that we as senators, and I would put myself in this boat, have taken the opportunity to make known publicly our support of the protesters, our fight for democracy, to quit the oppression, to quit the killings.
Only words.
Yeah. And so at this point, but I know that the president's keeping every option on the table. He's been very public about that. And I think that if others in the neighborhood, including us, decide that we could tip it over into the win column for freedom, then maybe we get a little more aggressive in what we would do. It's certainly not. On the ground.
This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Right. But this starts because they couldn't in Tehran. They ran out of water. Inflation's going through the roof. They know billions are going to Hezbollah, millions are going to Hamas. And they're saying, what is this government can't run anything. And that's why all 32 provinces have showed massive unrest. So they earned this tumult in their country.
Well, yeah, and there are a lot of young people in Iran. It is a much younger country than a lot of people realize. And also it's well educated, which means people know that there are other ways and better ways and more free ways to live where they can share in the prosperity of their own country, because we know Iran does have a lot of riches or availability of riches. But I mean, I can remember when the Shah was ousted in the 70s. And the Ayatollah, which we'd never heard. What is an Ayatollah? You know, we didn't really know at that point what exactly that is. And every succeeding Ayatollah has been a crushing regime. And look how it has affected our country. It's grown internal terrorism within our own country. It's grown it in the region. It's supporting Hezbollah and Hamas, which is that horrific attack in Israel. I mean, this is not if this ends in a total upheaval of the Ayatollah, it will be one of the best days of my life, quite honestly.
I hear you. And lastly, real quick, War Powers Act to stop the president from continuing operations in Venezuela got stopped in the Senate. I know you are not one of the people voting to stop the president, but there's nobody on the ground. Senator Rubio's like, right. What are you doing? We're not an occupying force.
No, there's no hostilities. There's not. He did write a letter yesterday reconfirming that there are absolutely not one single American soldier on the ground there. It was a law enforcement exercise with the help of our great and unbelievable, when you hear the details of it, military to protect our law enforcement, to bring a criminal to justice in New York. And that's what we're going to see.
Yeah, hopefully that's what we're going to see. I just don't know. When do you think they should have elections, Senator?
Well, you know, I would think sooner than later. I mean, obviously, the last election was a farce because Maduro just declares himself the victory, even though
he lost.
Public vote shows that, yeah, that he. I wish I could do that. That'd be great. I think also that the president has been pretty upfront with saying, let's give this new the vice president who has ascended to the presidency a chance to work. That's a good strategy, I think.
Because this way we don't have to be on the ground. Senator, thanks so much.